The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It is Thursday, and another momentous day. Tremendous amount of news and information just deluged with this morning's dynamite news conference, press conference, if you will. Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, and several others. Just extraordinary material, and all of it now online. One of the people giving their presentation challenged the gathered fake news journalists to tell the truth. It was a very compelling and provocatively correct thing to do. We are in the hands of the most fake, fraudulent, phony news paradigm that we've ever been in. And these people, these news presenters, readers, they are so enamored of themselves and their success. They don't care one whit about what's good for both sides of the aisle in this formerly United States of America. It's fractured. But these people don't care. They're not journalists. They're running agendas. And their biggest agenda is their own ego. Now, that said, there are so many other stories. I just got this one. The governor of Minnesota, I don't know who the hell these people think they are. Talk about ego. These governors, especially the Democrat governors and that arch fraud communist in California, gruesome, they think that they're some kind of god. Minnesota's Democrat governor has issued, and this should enrage Democrats, has issued what is perhaps the most draconian coronavirus lockdown order in any area of the country since the coronavirus pandemic began last March. Actually, it began before that. Governor Tim Walz, W-A-L-Z, announced yesterday, late, a four-week ban on social gatherings that apparently, if it is being interpreted as it's written, ordered all of his state's residents to refrain from entertaining guests in their own homes. They didn't even do that in the Soviet Union's darkest days. These people are absolutely nuts. They're crazy. They're out of control. They need to be smacked down. They're not operating on any legal basis. These things are unconstitutional when you take it nationally and federally. The states may have their own constitution, but these people are absolutely over the top. Crazy nuts. It really is all rigged when you think about it. Huh? The case numbers. Now, I've studied this plandemic, this scamdemic, this virus, this exercise in bio-driven geopolitical overthrow of the, not the country, just let's go with the whole planet. I've watched this now since January. It's all rigged. All the case numbers, the death certificates, they cannot be taken to the bank, so to speak, if you want to take anything to the bank anymore. It's contrived. It's fraudulent. It's induced by monetary compensation to doctors and hospitals. We know that. And if you've seen the story, I hope you have. Let me pull it up here. Okay. The chair of the Canadian Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons says that the coronavirus pandemic is the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on the unsuspecting public. He further said that masks are utterly useless and positive coronavirus tests do not indicate clinical infection. He said nothing can be done to contain the virus. I've got that story up. Please pass it around. Help people understand that this fear-based, fear-porn-driven pandemic obedience has got to stop. We've got to stand up to this. Up to 90% of the PCR tests used for determining who is infected are throwing false positives. 90% of the positive reactions to this PCR test are fake. That people aren't infected. They may have a cold. They may have anything. And yet many of them are going to be sent to the hospital. And what happens there? They will become infected with this virus, whatever it is, in many cases. And it could, if they have comorbidities, cause them maybe to tip over and die. So it's all crazy. All right, enough. Charlotte Iserbeet, my dearest friend, Maine's finest, one of the great American patriots, is sitting by in her beautiful home next to the river. Hello, Charlotte.
Oh, good evening, Jeff. How are you? Yeah, I don't know, but is it really evening here? Isn't it something else that we've got a new label for it?
Well, they throw the clocks off an hour, and it's evening, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, anyway, this is the most bizarre period in the history of the world. There's no question about it. And I consider this, we're living, if there's ever been a twilight zone, that's a really nice term. It's just too pretty for words, twilight zone. That we're living in a twilight zone, and it is causing, at least me, I used to have cognitive dissonance maybe once a month. I think most of your listeners know what that is, you know, where your belief system, your understanding of reality is in opposition to one position, one stand that you take is in opposition to another, or one belief that you have is completely in opposition to the other. That's where we all are. We're in a state of cognitive dissonance, right, in a twilight zone, and none of this, I'm positive I'm right. There's no question that this is not normal. There's nothing normal about what is going on right now. And when something is so absolutely abnormal that the world has never seen anything like this before, I consider it satanic.
I'll vote for that, right with you.
Absolutely satanic. Yeah. And because there is no other, if somebody can come up with another adjective, label for it, there isn't anything. I've lived a long time, and I can go all the way back really to, I wasn't really giving interviews or anything when I was in 1930. I was born in 1930, 10 years after the attempt by these evil people, they've always been around, to get us into the League of Nations.
Right.
Let's take a look at that. That year, I'm not sure it was 1920, it was around there, it was right after World War One. And what I'm trying to say here is that at that time, Charles Lindbergh was one of the people involved, and many great Americans, and it's just 100 years now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've had this incredible population, intelligent people who understand history, who understand absolutes, who understand communism. That's the lead word, keyword.
Yeah, it is.
They understand it. It came right after the League of Nations. It was right after the Bolshevik Revolution.
1920 it was. You're right.
Yep. Yeah. And we managed to squeeze out. We fought hard. And what you had back then were some really brilliant Americans. They were, I like to say, mostly on the East Coast. I don't think they were, or probably not. But they came from highly educated families, too. You know, and money. And they cared for the America that we had, in quotes, at that time. It was a very tragic time. It was after World War One, which was without a doubt, I think, is considered the most horrible war that the world ever saw. And they still resisted any call for a world government under any label. Although back then it was, when they wanted, that was the League of Nations, huh?
League of Nations. Yeah.
Absolutely no difference whatsoever between the League of Nations and the United Nations and UN Agenda 2030. They keep having to postpone it, and that's what I'm going to talk about.
It is.
They keep having to postpone it. It's just bothering them so much. They thought, and I have all this documented, that they would get us, bring us down into, let's call it what it is, world government. By
world communist government. How's that?
Right. Communist government. They thought they would have it by 1985. They had that Salzburg, or whatever his name was, Henry Steele Commager gave a speech, I think, in 1976 for the bicentennial of the United States. And that was in Philadelphia. And, you know, a tremendous percentage of the American idiots in the Congress voted for that. They voted for the United States to go into the world government back then. It was sort of, not a real vote in Congress, but it was in Philadelphia. I have, it's in my book, an entry on that, 1976. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Commager wrote that horrible speech of his, you know, the world is going to die, everything's going to blow up, we've all got to get along, we have to give up everything. All the freedoms we've become accustomed to. So anyway,
yeah.
They had that. Then the NEA, National Education Association, at the same time developed a curriculum. So let's say that 1976 was a key year. And they thought they were going to have it within 10 years, let's say. 86 we'll go to. Hmm? Well, by that time, Ronald Reagan had signed the agreement with Gorbachev, right, 1985, to merge the two, not just educational, merge the two countries, the USSR and the United States, in every area, not just education. And, so we were moving very fast then. But we still had this population within the country. Probably, 70% maybe, who did not want to go under world government. Now, you can call it whatever you want to call it, because they call it, it's had different labels all along. It's nothing other than international communism.
It's collectivist political control of everything.
Exactly. And, then... we kept fighting, and I want to read something tonight, because one of our greatest patriots, Mary Thompson, who lives in California, and she's quite ill right now, and I want to ask your audience to please say prayers for her. She's brilliant. She's been brilliant ever since, right now she is, but she's very ill. And she's been writing, and she's articulate. She's about 94, 93, and she's as articulate, sharp as a tack as ever. And she wrote an article in 1972. I'm going to go right down here. I hope that you may want to take a break here because...
No, I'm going to go up to Charlotte here. I'm going to...
What's that?
No. I'm going to... You come back to the phone. There you go. I'm going to go through
okay.
the break, so there will be no break this hour. You go right ahead.
All right, fine. Well, I've decided because she's
come
not
Come back
well
to the phone. You're a little bit away from
be.
The phone.
Do you hear me
there
now?
We go. Yeah.
Okay. I should read this because she wrote it in 1972. And this is an example of the great Americans that we had, who were writing, many others too, like Don Bell, Maureen Heaton, Arch Roberts. I could go on and on and on. These great Americans.
I haven't heard those names in a long time. That's
no, well, they're on my Patriot list at my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com. Go uh-huh. there and go up under the title that says second across the top. It says about. And go down to honor roll. And I started keeping this honor roll about 4 years ago. And there are many, many great Americans and some Europeans and some foreign service people, the ambassadors who were Arabists that I worked for in the Middle East. And all these people are there. They're not necessarily in education. And there are foreigners that I've worked with, Germany, Bosnia, etc. And there are probably four or 500. Half of them are dead.
That's an extraordinary list of the creme de la creme of human patriots.
Yes. And now they, in quotes, these evil people that are, I call them satanic, Bill Gates, all you have to do is look at his face. And Soros
right.
and all of these unelected corporate fascist communist multi-billionaires, trillionaires who are a new breed that none of us
right.
have ever been involved with before.
Because of the power.
They are a new
the
breed.
Power.
They are a breed
right.
of monster. And right. Now going back to 1972, we had one of these great patriots who's still with us. She's very ill, 93 years old right now, in California. And I want you to pray for her, Mary Thompson. And here we go. Mary Thompson, secretary and member of the Speaker's Bureau of the Santa Clara, California Republican Women's Federation, gave a very important speech regarding planning, programming, budgeting, systems,
mm-hmm.
formerly known as PPBS, on June 11, 1972. Now, many of your listeners may not even know what that is, but I suspect they do. That's what they used to call total quality management. And it's based on B.F. Skinner, stimulus response, which
mm-hmm.
has nothing to do with the brain working.
Uh-uh.
But it is basically total quality management. That was a new term for it. So here she goes. These are the key excerpts. And this is at my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, under articles, if you want to take a look at it. Because and there's a lot more in this article. But this is my main reason tonight is to bring attention to this great American. She's one that may not be with us much longer. And there's absolutely no excuse for what happened between the time Mary was doing this kind of work and what we're looking at right now. The only reason for what we're looking at right now is the public school system, which that's not teachers. I'm talking about those involved, like with the American Humanist Association, with the head of that, Dunphy, saying, referring to Christianity as the rotten corpse of Christianity. That's why I call these people diabolical.
Right.
If they can talk that way, that's a direct quote. We've got to get rid of the rotten corpse of Christianity.
Wow.
Okay, now here goes Mary. Mary Thompson, secretary and member of the Speaker's Bureau of the Santa Clara, California Republican Women's Federation, gave a very important speech regarding planning, programming, budgeting systems, PPBS, on June 11, 1972. Now, don't forget that the opposition to world government started in our country, basically. I'm sure they'd been thinking about it in the last 200 years ago, in the 1800s, too, right? But it really started after World War One. The opposition. And, a Lodge was opposed to it, Lodge family, believe it or not. And then you moved to 45, and you had Lindbergh opposed, and a lot of other great Americans who were attacked for, they were even called Nazis, et cetera.
And, so anyway, here we go. Charlotte, if I might ask, hold on, here we go, just hold that. Just a note to you younger listeners, Charles Lindbergh was a truly monumentally humble and brilliantly patriotic American hero. And he does not get the recognition he so richly deserves. And I just wanted to take a moment to make that point.
I'm glad you did that. In fact, he's sometimes spoken of, in academic circles very derogatorily. It's horrible because he was a great American. And much more important things that he did than even flying across the Atlantic, right? He had the right philosophy. So anyway, here we go. Following are key excerpts. This is Mary talking. This is the lady I want you to say lots of prayers for. When I was first asked to speak to you about PPBS, planning, programming, budgeting systems, and think always Skinner involved, and the fact that the Defense Secretary Robert McNamara supported PPBS, came out of the Defense Department. Then she goes, I inquired whether it was to be addressed to PPBS as applied to education. It can be applied to anything, right? I shall deal with it at the education level today. However, you should remember that PPBS is a tool for implementing the very restructuring of government at all levels in every area of governmental institutions. What is involved is the use of government agencies to accomplish mass behavioral change in every area, every single area, health, transportation, education, whatever, every area, defense, every single area. PPBS is a plan that changed they always change the title, when we catch on. They changed it to another title.
Oh, yeah.
But it is basically was known as PPBS, Planning, Programming, Budgeting System. Think about it. Okay. It's a plan being pushed by federal and state governments to completely change education. Now, it was the same thing with everything else, every other category that you can think of. Not just education, but this was the biggie. The accountability involved in PPBS means accountability to the state's predetermined education goals. One leader of education innovation, Shelley Humann's Management of Education, has called it, quote, a systematic design for education revolution, end quote. She goes on to say, in a systems management of the education process, this is Humann's talking, the child himself is the product. Let me hear that again. In a systems management of the education process, your child, listener out there near Jeff, right?
No.
Himself is the product. Your child has already been termed a product.
Programmed and released. Product.
Yeah.
Created.
Note. child, his feelings, his values, his behavior, as well as his intellectual development. This is humans talking. PPBS is the culmination of the people planner's dreams. That's Mary, must be. Humans wouldn't be admitting that.
Mm-mm.
Then in 1965... Mary talking, the means for accomplishing the actual restructuring of education was provided in the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, ESEA. President Johnson has said that he considered the ESEA the most significant single piece of legislation of his administration. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Recall that it was also the same year of 1965 when the presidential order was given to introduce PPBS throughout the entire federal government. 1965 was the year which unleashed the actual restructuring of governmental processes and formally included education as a legitimate federal government function. PPBS is a systems management tool made possible by technology of computer hardware to affect the planned change. That's all in bold print. The use, they said, tool made possible by technology of computer hardware. That's what we have now. Completely. No more regular traditional education. Everything is on the computer. B.F. Skinner said the computer was his box. Okay. In order to make an explanation of PPBS intelligible, you must also know that education itself has been redefined. Simply put, it has become the objective of education to measure and diagnose the child in order to prescribe, like a doctor, a program to develop his feelings and emotions, values and loyalties toward predetermined behavioral objectives.
She had it.
Drawing
and she didn't
right
have access
to
your... She didn't have your book, Charlotte. She had it all.
No, she didn't have my book. She didn't have my book. And when she saw this... Actually, I was on radio in California, San Francisco...
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned her. I mentioned this article of hers because my book had just come out. And she happened to be listening. And I talked about her. And she immediately called me. I'd never met her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I'm so happy to meet you. And I want to get your book and all that. Right. So that's how we met. I didn't know her prior to that. Drawing it right down to basics... I mean, I knew her enough to put her speech in, but I'd never met her, okay?
Excuse me, would you rewind and say that again? I want people to get a chance to hold on to that a little bit better. This is what the schools changed into. They changed into factories where a child would be measured and evaluated in terms of what the child needed to become a thoroughly manufactured product of the state. Just read that again, what you said, please.
Okay. It's system management tool made possible by computers, right? In order to make an explanation of intelligence, you must also know that education has been redefined. That's what you want to have here. Simply put, it has become the objective of education to measure. Now, by golly, remember that word, measure. Because I've read a lot of the corporate papers on the changes in the corporate world, too. And all of them are using Skinner. And it's a very interesting how they define measurement. They say, if you can't measure something, it's not worth it.
Wow.
You just forget it. Throw it in the trash. If you can't measure, measure is the key. So measure, you first measure, and then you diagnose. And then diagnose the child in order to what? You're a doctor. Prescribe a program to develop his feelings and emotions, values and loyalties toward predetermined, they've done it up there in their ivory towers, behavioral objectives. Now, drawing it right down to basics, we are talking about conditioned responses in human terms. Pavlov experimented on dogs. Taking each element of PPBS will show how the process is accomplished. Here we go. Planning. First stage. Planning phase. Please note that the process involved with a systems approach is always described in terms of phases, in quote. Always includes the establishment of, you all know it, we all know it, we've been looking at this stuff for so long and it aggravates us to the end of the world. I mean, it drives me crazy. The establishment of goals committees. Citizens, unelected always, committees, needs assessment committees. These are referred to as community involvement. Yummy, little warm, fuzzy community involvement. The committees are always either self-appointed or chosen, never elected. They always include guidance from some trained change agents who may be administrators, curriculum personnel, or, oh yeah, local citizens. You know that good friend of yours, you're the neighbor right down the road? Yep. Questionnaires and surveys are used to gather data on how the community feels, in quotes, and to test community attitudes. The ingeniousness of the process is that everybody thinks he is having a voice in the direction of public schools. Not so. For federal change agencies, specifically regional education centers established by the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, influence and essentially determine terminology used in the questionnaires and surveys. You know that. The change agents at the district level then function to identify needs and problems for change as they have been programmed to identify them at the training sessions. That's what I went to, remember? Talked about my Charlotte going to a little change agent training sponsored by federal offices such as our Center for Planning and Evaluation in Santa Clara County. That is why the goals are essentially the same in school districts across the country. It also explains why 3 years ago, she's writing this in 69, every school district was confronted with, you know, you wouldn't want anybody to know, would you? This is Charlotte talking. I'm talking to Mary, too, at the same moment. That what was going in was the destruction of your children's values, would you, through sex education? No. So every school district was confronted with a family life education issue at the same time. Unknowing citizens committees are used by the process to generate acceptance of goals already determined. What they don't realize is that professional change agents are operating in the behaviorist framework of thought, and Mr. or Mrs. Citizen Parent is operating in the behaviorist framework of thought. So the local change agents are able to facilitate the group to a consensus in support of, in support of predetermined goals, by using familiar traditional terms which carry the new behaviorist meanings. Another name for this process is participatory democracy, a term, by the way, which was coined by Students for a Democratic Society.
SDS,
their Port Huron Manifesto to identify the process for citizen participation in destruction of their own political institutions. Think back last summer, okay? Richard Farson of Western Behavioral Sciences Institute made a report to the Office of Education in Sacramento in 1967. He said it this way, quote, "The application of systems analysis is aided by several phenomena that will be of help in almost any situation of organizational change. First, it is relatively easier to make big changes than to make small ones. And systems changes are almost always big ones. Because they are big, it is difficult for people to mount resistance to them. For they go beyond the ordinary decision-making, policy-making activities of individual members of an organization. It is far easier to muster argument against a $100 expenditure for partitions than against a complete reorganization of the workflow. Teachers, she's talking to them, you have professional organizations to protect your professional interests. Use them to protect your personal privacy and professional integrity. Encourage organizations of teachers to take positions publicly in opposition to PPPS. We believe the time has come to establish private schools to keep our children from falling victim to the behaviorists while there is still opportunity to do so. Now get this. How brilliant can she be and foreseeing with foresight?
Look,
she says, be aware of the fact that the voucher system, school choice, is lurking in the wings to bring the private schools into the national control. Hello?
Wow.
Supreme Court just about a month ago voted that it's okay for private and religious schools to accept tax money, which means that they are all going to be public schools because they have to follow the federal guidelines. If they take the money, okay? Now, I pointed this out. Murray's article, from which the above is taken, was written in 1972. Okay, that's all I have to say right now. But I wanted to get that out because that's a hero, a heroine, we'll call her, huh?
Well, honoring her like this is more than appropriate, and I'm very glad you did. Yes, there are amazing people from time to time, like Charlotte Iserbeet as well, who have this remarkable foresight. They can see where all of these varied and numerous little currents are headed. They're headed into a big stream and then a river. And the river is called communism. And that's what
they're doing.
Absolutely.
And what we're looking at today is, this is so important to think in these terms, because all of us are saying, how did this happen? I don't even understand what planet I live on.
How could they do that?
As I said before,
how did this happen?
Yeah. How did it happen? I'm in a twilight zone. I have total cognitive dissonance. I wake up in the morning and, you know, you're I'm thinking normally, like, I'm going to go make coffee and then, get paid bills and all. You think, oh, God, what's going to happen when the whole banking system is transferred to computers? And if you don't do what they want, you know, the whole thing that they're talking about. You know, your mind shifts and you're just left. That's what you call cognitive dissonance. And so we're living in this, as I said earlier, we're living in this twilight zone. And,
you know, Rod Serling would be, his jaw would be on the floor. Not only is the title appropriate, but he was a man who was able to put together very interesting scenarios about the future, among other things. It wasn't all sci-fi, but he would really be astounded. So would George Orwell and others.
Well, I think so. But what I see here, Jeff, is they, you know, the George Soros, the Bill Gates, the whole crowd, there's so many of them, the World Health Organization, all these alphabet soup groups that we haven't elected. This is a totally unelected agenda down our throats through technology,
yes,
et cetera. And they knew. You see, they've been following us. We may think that nobody was listening to us. We have kept this from happening. I think it should have happened, you know, the complete going into global government. They wanted it in 1985, certainly. And
only our alertness and patriotism it held it off. Look, the World Economic Forum.
35 years we held it off. Yeah.
That's right. Klaus Schwab, this guy, this bizarre World Economic Forum leader.
Oh, yes.
He's now just spewing. We're going to do, he today came out with another story. or it was reported today, we want to do brain scan, literally brain scans on people before they travel, and we want to put chips in them to read their mental thoughts so they don't pose a threat to anyone else.
Oh,
this,
you know,
this guy is just laying it out.
Yeah, and but my point here is, I think many of us felt when all of a sudden this thing shifted to COVID, which we'd never heard of. You know, we were thinking, what are they doing this for? You know why they're doing it? Because they couldn't get us the normal way. They were fed up with having to fight these good Americans, who these young people don't even know who Mary Thompson is, or even you, Jeff, doesn't know who I am, doesn't know who Maureen Eden was, doesn't know who John Ashbrook was. It's history. This history of the greatest battle in the history of the United States of America, written, thought by these great people that I'm mentioning, had to be wiped. It had to be wiped, and it makes me plain mad, because it's just not fair, is it? We had
ethics, an morality,
army
fairness.
That was winning.
Fairness?
We were winning, see? We were winning that battle. You never, none of these wonderful people out there, some are still alive, they didn't know they were winning, because we never got any media. We got nothing, but we were winning. And all you have to do is ask Bill Gates and ask the rest of them, what happened? Why didn't this happen earlier? Hello? Why didn't we go down in 1985? They have to say, well, there were people like Arch Roberts and, you know, John Ashbrook and Mary Thompson and all the, there were these Americans out there who were fighting brilliantly.
Well, that frightened them. That made them step back. It did.
Yes.
And now they got us with this biological fear porn.
And nobody's ever going to think of the great history that you've allowed to get out on your show, of the great Americans who, I know many of them, their marriages busted up because of the work the moms were doing. You know, they'd leave a school board meeting and they'd get in their car and the car would go flying off the road because somebody was messing with their car. There are a lot of stories out there. They were fighting an internal war in this country while our young people were overseas fighting no winners, right? And they've got to get the credit that is due to them. And I think Mary's a perfect example, and she's still alive, of these great Americans, brilliant, not just patriotic, brilliant, dedicated to the Constitution, et cetera. And that's all I have to say.
You said a lot, and I will get you an audio copy of this program. You can send it to her, hopefully, and she'll be able to hear it.
Yes, she'd just love to have it. I mean, look, when she wrote that, where was I? No, look, I just come back from overseas. I didn't know nothing. I hadn't been to my change agent training yet, you know, where I was taught to identify the resistors in the community. I taught to identify myself. That's something when you get taught to identify yourself. And that is what I was taught. And that is what she's writing about. And I just think we've got to get this word out that the COVID, we can't allow it to wipe the history of the greatest effort that was ever made to hold onto our Constitution, and that was by these people that I'm talking about, Don Bell, et cetera.
Really nice.
Yep.
Here's something I just sent you, and I hope you all can find it. It's not very far down from the top. It says, watch, identical Bolshevik tactics underway by big tech communists and radicals in the U.S. And the video will start at 16:50. And it draws the parallel line between what they're perpetrating now. They, the leftist, progressive, socialist, communist, Bolshevik, Zionist, what they're doing now and what was done in 1917 under Mao in the 40s. It just goes on and on. It's all there, and it's about five minutes worth of watching.
Good, I'm glad you're getting that out. Good. I'll get it out tomorrow to my list. I'm going. Yes, that's great to have that, because of course it's the communists, and nobody will use that word. I mean, the only persons that are allowed to use it are the communists. Like Gorbachev uses it all the time. I mean, he warned us. He said that the North America, the European Union was the new European Soviet. And then he said that the North American Union was going to be the North American Soviet. I'm like, hey, hello.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's the same parallel how blacks can only use the N-word. Nobody else does. But the communists will use the communist word. Well, here I started using it in earnest a year or two ago, and I've been pushing it, and I'm seeing it now here and there in the so-called alternative media, which is great because it's got to be given a name. And it doesn't mean that there aren't more aspects to it, which there are, but it is communism, communitarianism. It's a program, right?
Right.
So it's
there. Well, my Australian friend, who's long gone, she was one of the great patriots. She became an American citizen, but she understood because she came from Australia, where I believe most of the garbage, the change in education, came out of New Zealand and Australia. So she knew her stuff. And she called, she always would call the word community.
Yeah.
She'd say, common unity. She went to that conference in D.C. way back in the early 70s, where it was a community educator from Alaska. He was giving a speech, a big conference, and talking about community education. Nobody will listen to any of us about this. They just don't believe we're right. Oh, well, we are. But this is way back, 50 years ago, she's there. And this young teacher who's being dragged into the community education agenda, he asked the facilitator, what are you talking about? He said, where does this come from? And the facilitator says, it's communist Chinese.
Well, look at that piece that I have up in headlines. It's not seven or eight down from the top. All of you out there, headlines are uploaded early tonight. They're up now. I'll be updating them. Watch identical Bolshevik tactics underway by big tech communists and radicals in the U.S. right now. It says,
I'm going to send it out tonight.
Great.
I'm looking at this right now.
Here's the latest. Will you sit down? It takes about 5 minutes. Here's another little clip from the creeper Joe Biden and his brain dementia. Now just check. Yeah. Here's another one, Charlotte. This is a new one.
For the National Guard, that's a fancy way of saying governors need to be able to get funding when they need to bring their National Guard into play. And National Guards are going to have to play this.
There you go. This guy is unfit for anything. He's unfit for dog catcher.
I am so embarrassed. Can we change our nationality without having to go to Washington to do it?
I don't know what to do. We've got to just stop this. And the news conference today by Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and the others was really extraordinary. And I think it had to send shockwaves through the, I call them commucrats now, not Democrats, commucrats.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are.
Well, they really, and there's the real radicals now, what's her name? I can't remember what's her name. The head of the commie group in the Senate or the House, whatever her name is. Ocasio, yeah. I mean, they're not about to back down. They're marching, and anybody who thinks they're going to go away because the average Democrat doesn't really go along with this tremendous radical agenda, they're crazy. They're not going to go away. Why would they? Why would they be there in the first place?
Not going anywhere.
This is the Republicans picked up a lot of seats in the House. They really did. That I like the Republicans. I mean, you know, they're all the same. But the good ones who are running for office like that, I don't believe that they are the same as the left. You know, the neocon Trotskyites are the same, like Heritage, et cetera. They're more dangerous because people think they're okay. But anyway, this has been a lovely conversation. You know, here we are in La La Land, and I don't know what. Well, I mean, how can anybody make any plans?
Well, if
how can you make any plans when you're being told that your money isn't even going to exist the way it exists now, or your bank account, and we're going to have the Chinese, you know, credit system, which is horrible. Did you see that video out of China, YouTube video?
Yeah, social credit. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, social credit. I mean, have you ever, you know, I wake up in the morning and I think life's normal because I haven't yet gone into that phase they want us to go into. I'm, you know, normal, you know, I make my coffee, stagger around the kitchen and everything. I'm getting ready to have a useful day. And I think, what am I going to do next year when I don't have a bank account?
I know. Did you, and by the way, a public, and we've done this in private, but a public happy birthday to you, Charlotte. 90. Amazing.
I know. Can you believe it?
No, I don't.
I don't know why I'm here or how
it's
I'm
just
here
a number
or whatever,
and
but I'm here.
Proof of that. Just a number. Doesn't mean anything. Did you get my little birthday card? That little animated birthday card?
I told you I did. I emailed you. That is without a doubt the most beautiful card. I've gotten
good.
That kind of card before, but that was a beauty.
Yeah, it was a nice one. I'm glad you got it.
I certainly did, and I thanked you, but you don't get any of my emails.
I know it's blocked, a lot of it. Thank you, dear, and I will talk to you soon.
Well, thank you, and I thank your audience for listening to Mary, because I know that they don't know who she is, probably, and it might have, you know, they can listen to it again and again. That's why I think it's good to have it on, have done it tonight, because it's a complicated subject, and it's important for them to, I hope you put it up on the screen.
Oh, it'll go up.
It's in my book. Look under Thompson in the index, so you can just cut and paste it.
We'll do it. I'll get it up there.
Oh, I'll send you this article here that I wrote. You didn't pay any attention to it when I sent it to you last week.
I didn't get it.
Well, I'm going to send it to Rents J. What is it? That's Siding. What is it?
Yeah, send it to the Siding's address.
All right, I will. I'm going to do it right now.
Okay. All righty. Good night.
God bless you all.
Good night. Good night. Charlotte Thompson is your beat. A national monument. A living national monument. Okay. We will be back with more in just a few. Hang on.